notice you leaving sweetie wrappers under the fucking table?
How dare you?
It is you, isn't it?
That is not me. That is on your side.
Of course it's on my side. You just kicked it with your foot.
That is not me.
It's on your side. It's on your side.
You know I'm a biscuit man, not a sweet man.
You are a biscuit man.
A biscuit fiend.
Why are there so many cables under the... Nikola Tesla would be laughing his fucking ass off at us. Look at us, all tangled up in shit. He's like, this was not necessary.
You can't blame that on me. I've had nothing to do with that.
Well, I'm not blaming you.
You didn't
for...
want water, did you?
I've got.
Wait,
this...
I thought that, but you know,
I've got this. This
I don't awesome... like to give you potential avenues for moaning.
I wouldn't moan.
You would.
Nice, right?
Yeah, it is nice. Maybe we should have a background music.
We should maybe. That's it. Banned from YouTube straight away.
Yeah. There you go. Copyright claim. Get in there.
Okay. Hang on. There we go.
That's
airplane mode.
Oh, hold on.
Now you know we're serious. Yeah. Is yours? Yours is always airplane. Your phone's from before airplanes.
Hold on. Yeah. Horse and carriage mode is on.
Horse and carriage mode.
We're good. We will not be interrupted by the horses.
Penny farthing mode.
Exactly.
Brilliant.
I love it.
Hang on a minute. I need to get my fucking laptop.
Don't replace it unless it's broke.
Is that your motto for life?
Yeah. Tell my knees that.
So yeah. Don't replace you unless you're broke. Is that?
Yeah. Right.
Is that the? Yeah. That's the motto. What am I? Am I far away today?
No, you seem.
I seem like a long way away, don't I? It's a fucking mass of cables.
What are you doing?
Hello, everybody, and welcome to.
Where are we? Which podcast are you on? What day is it?
What are we talking about? Welcome to the Full Rex. Welcome to the Outlaw
the
Picks
War
podcast.
The War Picks podcast.
The War Picks podcast.
Well, at least you remember to intro. That's good.
Right? Well, it's just prompt you to do your...
Well, I'm just deciding whether to out you or not.
You read. What do you mean, out me?
You know exactly what I mean. You know...
You know what?
Exactly what
maybe,
I mean.
Maybe
you found that box I've been banging on about for weeks. I knew it.
I knew it. I've sent all of my Merino away to have the Not For Ollie adaptation stitched into it.
I knew the whole
Not For Ollie line coming out.
I knew it. That's not got it on though, has
it? I'm considering just having everything in my wardrobe. Not yet.
You know, if I'd had more notice, or if I'd found out earlier, I would have found the exact point where you said, oh, that's a nice colour T-shirt. I haven't got one of those.
Well, maybe they've restocked me because there's no...
No, they haven't.
I'd been thieving everything.
I'd know about it.
Thieving everything.
So the box that I may have mentioned has been found. Or actually not been found. It was all... You always knew where it was.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
You've never
been in that colour before.
Well, maybe they've stopped.
No, they haven't. I'd know about it.
Maybe there's.
I would know about it. They Judas me once with the Not For Ollie stuff. They wouldn't do that again.
Nonsense.
They wouldn't do that to me.
I just thought it'd be funny for me to wear the same colour as you.
Anyway, now we've found
that's well worn. You've worn that a few times.
Well,
you know
what I was going to say is you can't really tell.
This is brand new.
And that's the benefit of them. You can't really tell. But I was going to say, anyway, it's a whole different story. But they wear very, very well.
Yeah, they are.
Love
good.
Them. Obviously, we're talking about Unbound Merino.
Yeah.
And the long-standing story that you hadn't on.
I slept in one the other day and then went to the supermarket the next morning. Didn't even change it. Didn't
oh,
even
really?
Need to change it.
How do I feel about that?
Well,
I like it.
I'm not
it
really
emphasizes
bothered
how,
about
durable, it.
Yeah.
how durable the
That's
garments are.
That's my point, right?
A little bit worried about you now.
Right? If we're marketing leather jackets and I'd come off a motorbike and it saved me, you'd want to know about that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would.
There you go. So it's the Merino Unbound equivalent.
Okay. It's a tenuous example.
I slept
but
in the long
okay,
sleeve
we'll
one.
I
didn't mean to fall asleep in it, of course.
Okay.
But, you know, it's like a warm hug, isn't it?
Yeah. You was it a Not For Ollie one?
It was, of course.
Was it? Of course it was.
Of course it was. I've been wearing nothing but since.
Of course you are. It's a long-standing inside joke with Unbound. If you would like some Unbound Merino, then go to their website, unboundmerino.com. Use the code OUTLAW and you get 15% off and free shipping over $100. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
So
it's a lovely colour of grey, that is.
It is a lovely colour. I'm glad you found the one that you've had for six months
yeah.
and
got,
pretended you haven't.
I've got a sweater here to match as well.
Very nice. I don't have a sweater because I didn't moan about not having stuff and get more
stuff.
Well,
you're always
sent.
Too warm, aren't you? So, you know.
I am quite happy that I didn't just grab everything out of that box and take it home. I was thinking that is a dick move. I can't have done that, surely. But no, you're playing mind games. Anyway, we're also brought to you by C4 Energy. This is specifically for our US listeners. I'm afraid we do not have this deal for our UK guys. Sorry about that. C4 are doing a collab with Sports Illustrated swimsuit models at the minute. So right. The obvious next step was to incorporate us into that.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. Are we
Jasmine Sanders, Ollie Richardson, similar sort of similar sort of standard of looks going on. I was more of an FHM guy, to be honest. Sports Illustrated, big over kids.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, maybe not.
I don't
so
think
much.
So.
Big deal in America.
I know Sports Illustrated from Wayne's World.
Right, there
that's,
you go.
That's how I know it. So it's a very American
big
thing,
deal in America.
Yeah, for sure.
Big deal in America. Anyway, they have a collab going on with them with the swimsuit models.
Nice.
Not the worst bit of research I've ever had to do.
Is that right?
Not at all.
Is that, anyway. Is that how you sold it to Anna? Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
It's,
yeah.
Anna, it's
what,
research.
What?
Close
research.
The door. Close the.
She loves it. She knows nothing about this. But anyway, I'll have to deal with that when I get home now.
What, the podcast? All of it?
No, she has an idea about that. C4 are killing it in the energy drinks market. This is, like I said, this is specifically for the US guys. Jump on c4energy.com, use the code FULLREPTILE, and you'll get 30% off your order, which is significant, like I say every time. Go get it.
Yeah.
All good. That's us. C4 and Umbam Marino.
Yeah, and C4, send Ollie some of this, because every time he comes here, he steals a can of mine.
No, we're due some. Angel, come on, bro. Send me some. Send it down.
Done from above.
You do not want to see this group under-caffeinated.
About 2% of everybody watching will get that reference.
Yeah,
done from above.
Less.
You get it.
Yeah, definitely get it. Loved it. The dove from above.
Yeah.
Crow from what's Miller. The scores?
What's the scores, George?
George
Dawes.
Brilliant.
Brilliant.
Again, shoof, gone. Some people will get it.
Some, not many.
Yeah. Before we go on to UFC Las Vegas, holy shit, what a glory card that was.
Mate, it was awesome. It was awesome. The whole card was good.
Holy shit, it was
we were double screening. Were double screening because it started, well, we had the prelims on our channel starting at 4, didn't we?
So full transparency, we partnered with Glory on this card. So I don't want to be disingenuous by sort of blowing up when I don't mean it. But so we partnered with them and it was great. We streamed the Super Fight series through our channel, and I just hadn't watched kickboxing for so long.
Yeah.
We're saturated in MMA.
It was much more of a thing
all the time.
Like 10 years ago, like when K1 was around and like all the greats were fighting. Like we were watching it quite a lot, weren't we? Like I was watching a lot of like Hoost and Ertz, and you know, obviously Mark Hunt, Ray Sefo.
Different though, because I found MMA through sport and through grappling and through that. So I wasn't watching that. I was watching boxing, and then obviously I got into jiu-jitsu and stuff, and that's probably why my striking sucks balls.
So this is kickboxing.
Oh right, okay, get you. So it's slightly different. So I had not seen as much. I then went back, once I'd got into MMA, went back and watched all of the Pride stuff and all of the kickboxing stuff through through that sort of avenue.
So Star Wars next then?
Yeah, maybe. You never know.
There is loads of old fights to watch. We're going to do that first season of Legendary Kickboxers.
Yeah.
I have a list of like 35 fights. In my notes here, of all fights that I want to work through and show people. There's some amazing fights and you know, a lot of greats, you know, heavyweight and below. But it kind of went a bit quiet for a while. Mm. And then all of a sudden, I mean, the heavyweight division in Glory is amazing. They've had good champions over the years, but the guys, I mean, Donovan Riese was just
incredible,
amazing. Incredible.
I'm just going to reemphasize, I genuinely mean it's like, how much sport have I watched over the years? Like, my whole life has been pro sport. This, for the first time in a long time, I was, you're quite amped up during fight cards anyway, no matter what, aren't you?
Yeah.
But I'm not so much. Like, I watch it and I'm, you know, whatever. But I was on the edge, I was genuinely like up and down on the edge of my seat. I had not felt like that about a sporting event for a while.
Especially
it was so good.
Especially when Harry went down.
When what?
When Badr Hari went down.
You couldn't script it, could you?
It was, especially
like
with the...
It was like Anderson trying in jail. That's how unexpected it was.
It was like Chris Weidman knocking out Anderson, is how it was.
Yeah, right.
Because it was,
And Badr looked awesome, didn't he? Yeah. He looked big. He looked in shape.
He was in good shape.
He was wrecking sharp.
Well,
and body
shot down twice
savage,
in the first round, didn't he? Yeah. Twice in the first round, once in the second round. And it was almost like he was just going in to finish. And then at Voroshek just kind of
led
back.
A great steal.
Awesome.
Did you see that steal like the day after? Of a steal picture of it?
Yeah.
Where the foot or the ankle is sort of hitting him in the head.
I haven't seen it.
Fucking, I'll show you later. Yeah. It's wicked. It's just the moment.
Amazing.
It's like absolutely the moment. It was so good, man. I was buzzing.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Glory. It was an amazing card. And
I thought Voroshek's post fight interview was good because he was so happy, so elated.
Of course. Because he's done.
Yeah.
He
course.
Was done.
Yeah.
100%. He was done.
Absolutely.
Learning.
He was. You don't normally come back from that kind of beating. And then they were like, so a rematch? And he was like,
Nah, you're all right.
Nah.
I'll live off this for a little bit if it's all right.
Yeah.
I'm not coming back in
They've
there.
They've got to do a rematch though, haven't they? It's the only way. You've got to.
Yeah. I also feel like they're going to want Badr Hari as the champ. Do you know what I mean?
I certainly think they want him up there as a contender.
As the champ. Yeah.
He brings a lot of fans. Yeah. I certainly think they want him up there. Like if you think of that mix where you've got, you know, Verhoeven and Overeem now, like you need Badr in that mix.
Do you know when's the next one? Do you know?
It's coming up very soon.
It's not that far away, is it?
I'll tell you exactly because I have Glory's website up now. Oh,
even
past events. I don't want past events.
From start to finish, the Super Fight series, that was, you know, it was obviously on our channel. We were all tuned into it. The Hendu for Minato fight, the Bezatati and Gashi fight. They were wicked fights, weren't they?
Really good. October 23rd.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I think it's in Holland again. We might nip over. I'd like to be there for that one, for sure.
Yeah, it was cool.
Verhoeven against Overeem.
Yeah. Production value was great. I liked how it was all set up. There was a little bit of an old school feel to it as well.
It's that ring announcer, I'm telling you. He's awesome. It makes it feel like he's like a ringmaster.
Yeah.
Rotterdam.
That's so good, man.
He's brilliant.
Pierre and Vakatov was good, wasn't it?
How did you score it?
That way.
Yeah, back it up.
It's
just pressure, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I think the difference as well, similar to the last fight where a lot of people thought Vakatov won, when he connects, because Pereira is so tall and he kind of has such a loose style with his hands down, when he takes a shot, it like recoils through his body so much more.
But he does roll a lot of those shots really well.
I mean, there were a few times when Vakatov cracked him a couple of times and, like, you know, the crowd reacted and then he kind of clinched and he, like, looked over at the camera or whatever and he'd, like, kind of say, no, it was fine.
I like him, man. He's a good character.
Vakatov's awesome. I think Pereira's checked out of kickboxing already, though.
You reckon?
Yeah, that was the feeling I got. I mean, he's already matched on a UFC card coming up.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously with the Adesanya thing, they must have paid him well to come over.
Must have. It's an interesting clash of styles, isn't it? Like Vakatov is quite traditional, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Hands in nice and tight.
Tight, push forward,
yeah.
Head movement. Lovely kickboxing, though. It's not just like a boxing style. You know, but he tends to pressure people against the ropes where he can cut their legs up while he's beating their head up and then start coming head kicks around the side. Whereas Pereira kind of hangs back and his hands are down and he's far more like flow state kind of fighter. Pereira... Vakitov's more rehearsed in his approach, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Pereira just kind of throws what's there, skip knee, teep, jab, you know, some spinning stuff every now and then.
Yeah. It was fun, man. I enjoyed watching that fight. And Levi Rutgers finishing with those leg kicks.
Yeah.
It was just brutal, wasn't it?
Yeah. And fair play to, what's his name, for getting back up.
Yeah. Keeping on getting back up.
Yeah.
So is the calf kick. Come back into kickboxing, or is it like?
I don't think it really was a thing in kickboxing.
Has it come over from MMA? That
I think so.
Whoever started it has started a. Everyone's like, mother.
I think so.
I now have to deal with this.
Yeah,
yeah.
I wonder what their deal with. Obviously, we're going to talk about it in a bit. I wonder what their deal with oblique kicks is in Glory. Yeah, I wonder if you're allowed to do it.
Yeah, I don't know. No idea.
It's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. Do you want to talk about that later?
Yeah, for sure.
Right now, yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Lovely finish. No problem with it at all. There we go. That's what I think. Anyway, we'll come around to that.
Yeah. It was good, man. And I can't wait for the next one. You've converted me. I feel like I've been neglecting the kickboxing.
You have.
Watch me kickbox, I've been kickboxing. Yeah. But I mean, I've neglected watching it.
You're back on board now.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely.
Till Brunson. Starting where?
I mean, it was a good weekend of fights, weren't it?
It was a good weekend of
fights. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, and obviously one championship on the Friday as well.
Yeah.
I've done a, what's it called? I've done a like a review show of the Atomweight Grand Prix. They all went to decision, but they were four really, really good fights.
Yeah.
All competitive. I learned something from each one of them. I was talking to Jimmy about it today. Itsuki Hirata was using wicked judo.
Yeah.
Against Elise Anderson, like driving her into the fence and pulling her over her hips. And then all of her ground game, everything was focused on controlling her shoulders. She wasn't interested at all in her lower body. Right. She was aware of it.
Successfully.
Oh, very successfully, yeah. I mean, Elise got away with a lot because she's very flexible. She was able to kind of double back and kind of climb her way out of stuff. But Hirata's upper body control, like head, shoulders, both arms, crucifix, pinning arms, beating her up, and then with it having, you know, legal knees to the head.
Yeah.
Like, it just makes that position so much more interesting. Yeah. And then the next fight along, Ritu Fogat, same thing. I mean, she got pinged in the first round and hurt bad, but she's got wicked wrestling. Same thing, though. High upper body control, pins the shoulders, and then starts working those knees to the head.
Right. From a crucifix?
Yeah, crucifix. So what Fogat does is she kind of laces around the tricep and kind of stays long so she can club them from a distance. Right. And then she posts on their head and then hits them with the knee.
Ooh.
Wicked. Yeah. Really, really good. And then, you know, Stamp and Rasahini had another really good fight. They've got to go again because they're 1-1 now.
Right.
And then the other one's under investigation, the review.
I saw that posted.
Yeah, Zambwanga against Sohi Ham.
Yeah.
It was close. Neither of them did a lot, but I mean, I did score it for Denise. It was a bit of an odd decision, I thought. But, you know.
Good card.
Yeah, really good.
Yeah.
Really good. Enjoyed it.
So, UFC London, Barry Holt and Lung Gyan Bulla.
Mate.
Exactly what we said was going to happen.
Yeah.
It, you know what? I can't quite think of the term to explain what I thought about Barry Holt, because it's not pretty to watch, is it? Like, it's not a masterclass of techniques and sort of beautiful martial arts or whatever like that, but it was like a really high level industrial performance. Like,
industrial,
it's like steel and granite in it. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're messing with some fire when you're messing with Lung Gyan Bulla. Do you know what I mean? The consequence of getting this wrong is there's a lot of power being messed around with. And I just thought he was brilliant.
He was on him the whole time, wasn't he?
Couldn't let him breathe. By the end of it, Lung Gyan Bulla did not know where he was. And purely, not from the strikes, purely from the fatigue. You could just see him, like the end of that third round, he could have told him to go anywhere, he would have followed you.
He was having some kind of psychedelic experience, he was so tired.
Yeah, and it was just gritty and tough and, like industrial. And there wasn't a range of techniques used, was there? There was a few techniques he used over and over, protecting himself. Took a little bit, because you're probably going to have to take a little bit, in you?
Yeah. He rode a lot of good shots, though, you know what I mean? A lot of things that would have caught him if he wasn't paying attention, he was able to just kind of roll off. And I thought it was a really good performance. I mean, he's a Mershaw, isn't he? Mm. You know, he's a good test for anybody in that middleweight division that's on the rise. I don't think we're going to see him in the top five.
No,
but
no,
I think he's a fun fight for a lot of people. Mershaw would be a good one. See how they match up.
Yeah, I think it would be easy to underappreciate Barry Holt's performance, but I thought it was, you know, one of his best.
Yeah,
because of the consequence of getting it wrong
I mean, while I was watching it, I was actually having a bit of a conversation in the back of my head about, like, our perception of physical advantages.
Mm.
Like, you look at both of those guys and you're like, oh, Lung Gyan Bulla's the one with the physical advantages. But then, how do we quantify that?
Yeah. Are you talking about us or are you talking about people?
I mean just generally, it's an assumption.
Yeah.
Like, we're not even putting any kind of statistics behind it. like you stand both of those guys next to one another and you go, oh, Lungi Ambula is the better athlete here by you know, he's got
I feel like we've gone 180 in that. Now you look at that and you're like, oh fucking hell, I hope his condition is good, because he's gonna blow out real fast.
Exactly.
look how good condition he's in.
It's a different thing.
Yeah.
Like it's almost, to be that powerful and explosive is almost a curse in MMA at times. Because like if you look at Barrio, right? Like Barrio is, say he's the marathon runner over the sprinter, right? He's got the ability to develop enough power to knock people out, especially if he works on his technique.
Yeah.
Lungi Ambula is automatically powerful enough to knock people out, but it costs him so much if he gets it wrong. And he also, a lot of fighters, when they're big punchers, and this is why I think Adesanya is such a slick striker, is he's not a heavy-handed fighter.
Yeah.
He's had to earn his victories with technique.
Precision.
Yeah, he's had to make his technique great. And I think, you know, I think Barrio is working really well with the raw materials that he's got. It's a very industrial performance.
I like the way you've linked into my
example. Well, you know. Yeah. I like to try and carry you through these podcasts. I know you rely on your notes. But.
No, but like it's all, I agree. Like, and I think we've gone a 180, and as soon as you see someone in that condition with that amount of musculature, you're like,
there's
going to be a hell of a cliff you're going to come off if you're not, you know, if you're going to waste that. You cannot, like, we always say it's not the powerful punches that are knocking people out. It's the timing and the precision of the punches. So if you bear that in mind, Lungi Ambula has double the power he needs. You know, he doesn't need to be throwing those massive overhand rights.
Yep.
And you could see him throw them, and all I'm thinking is all of that massive back musculature is going, all right, I have to slow this motherfucker down now to pull this back. Then I have to pull it back. That's just cost me 10 credits.
Exactly.
And we'll do it again now. That's another 10 credits you've just cost me.
And it's like owning a Hummer and taking it to the supermarket.
Yeah.
That's what it's like. Parking across two spaces at Whole Foods.
Sounds like a personal experience.
This is exactly a personal experience. And I'll tell you exactly where I was. I wish I could remember the license plate number, because I would tell you that as well. It's like a dark grey gunmetal Hummer.
Yeah.
Driving down Charleston on the way to Whole Foods, pulls in. And I couldn't help but remember it, because on the bottom, you know, where there's a hitch for something to attach to, like a caravan or something.
Yeah.
There was just a steel chrome cutout of an AK-47.
Cool.
Like what kind of dickhead needs really tough a car one. Like that?
A real tough
what
guy.
What kind of baseball cap do you think he was wearing? What shape peak?
What shape peak?
Yeah. Oh, mate, it's typical.
What?
It's typical.
Dad cap?
Flat peak baseball cap.
Yeah.
All day.
I bet he's got a small penis.
I bet he's got a fucking pit bull at home. Honestly, he was, and he parked, like, parked across two spaces. Anyway, I'm not fucking ranting about that dickhead anyway.
Yeah. Doesn't sound like
but
it.
But yeah, no, the point stands though, isn't it? You know? It's like, it's having too much power for the purpose.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I agree. I just feel like his coaching group must be able to identify that. It's like, you know.
Well, I think we've discussed this. I was certainly chatting with Veronica about it, about people that have got a lot of power and can't seem to manage it.
Yeah. Like, no, we've talked about it, you know, picking like, shots in combinations.
Like, can they? Like, are some people equipped with a spectrum to shift through gears? Like, say, like, you might have five gears, I might have five gears. Lado down the gym might have one.
Yeah.
He might go from on to off to on.
No dimmer switch.
And that's it. There's no dimmer switch attached.
On or off, yeah. That's another thing I thought Barriott was very good at. He seemed to increment his work rate.
Yeah.
Like he was, and that made me think this is a very conscious, he's doing this
for
consciously.
Sure.
He's Max Holloway in it. He's like, okay, well, put a little bit in there. And I'll put a little bit, oh, okay. Now I'm really going to put it on you and see where you're at.
Yeah.
Very
enjoyed
good.
It.
Very good, yeah.
As I enjoyed the next one as well.
Yeah, right.
Which
we knew it, didn't we?
Kind of went as we expected. He's just been chaotic for longer. That's what it was. I mean, you know, like it was a fun fight. It was a bit wild, but Julian Erosa has just been chaos for longer.
Yeah,
he's a better Loki.
I thought
you won't get that
was
reference, but some people will.
What was it?
He's a better Loki. You've not watched the season.
I mean, I have watched Loki. Yeah, I actually quite enjoyed Loki.
The season.
The season. The Yeah, the one that's just been on.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I have watched
Oh, you
that,
did?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. He's a better Loki, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's a more experienced Loki. He's been alive for longer. Like, that's how it looked to me. Like, Jordan, when he's got Erosa's experience...
He'll be a killer.
Will be a killer.
I thought he was sort of turning that fight just as that happened. He just seemed to... Jordan just seemed to beat him to the... Every time they exchanged, it just seemed like Jordan... It just seemed like Erosa slightly came up better, didn't it? And then it was just turning a touch, and then he just got caught in a beautiful... What are we saying? Brabo or Darce? Are they the same thing? So what's a Brabo?
I don't fucking know.
No difference?
No one's been able to give me a straight answer on the difference between a Darce and a Brabo.
Okay.
I could create a difference for you if you want.
No, you're fine. I'd rather find out the truth than a made-up story you're just going to make up right now.
The Darce and Anaconda, they're two different ones.
Yeah.
The Anaconda is the arms lock in the armpit. Yeah. The Darce, the lock at the side of the neck.
He walked through some shots.
Oh, yeah.
He walked through some shots that look like those shots that you don't see that normally knock people out. You know, the last one at the end of the combo that catches people normally. He walked through a couple of left hooks off him. I was like, oh shit.
But a bit like I was saying about Pereira. You know, he fights in such a relaxed style that when he gets hit, it just kinda, you know?
Mm.
It's like a reed in the wind.
Yeah. Like it.
Like Henry Cejudo's hair.
Yeah.
Have you seen it? It never goes flat. No matter how sweaty he is, it's always...
No, just volume.
It's like
just volume based.
Like a field of wheat.
Beautiful.
Okay, Jack Shaw was fucking awesome. He's just so slick. And you know the thing, after his last fight against Hunter Azure, he was taking too many risks unnecessarily. Like he wanted a fight, you know, like he wanted a scrap. And this time around, I think obviously because he was injured, he stuck to a real smart game plan. Never overextended himself, never risked himself. I thought he looked awesome.
Man, he was competent, composed, like super smart decision making. I know they referenced it in the commentary, but when he let go of that head and arm choke because he couldn't quite get to he knew he was not going to get that.
Yeah.
Or, you know, it was going to be more effort than it was worth. And the percentage chance of him finishing it just didn't quite add up in his mind, did it? And then, you know, took a different position. That's the kind of stuff where you're like, that man is in the moment right now. He's, you know, he's not fighting for his life in there. This is a controlled, methodical performance.
Yeah.
Something happening in there. There's something with him. There's something there.
Definitely.
And he's not a loud mouth and he's not shouting about the houses and stuff, but he's shouting with his performances. And, you know, Ludovic, he put quite a lot of psychological pressure on him to pull him out of that. You know, he wanted him to come in and brawl. So he
pressured him constantly.
Didn't he?
Yeah.
And fair play. That's very strong-minded to just keep to the game plan.
Mm.
I don't know if they referenced him seeming like GSP, but GSP, you couldn't get him out of a game plan, could you?
Yeah.
Like that was probably one of his major strengths. And maybe they referenced that in the commentary, but some similarities there for sure.
Yeah. He's got a very mature approach, which, like I said, I didn't see as much in his last fight against Azure. But this time around, there were a few things that he was doing. I was interested because I think he was playing with a couple of things that didn't come off. Like he kept kind of dipping back into the choke point as he was being chased around the edge of the octagon. He kept kind of moving back into this space almost as if he was testing him to throw
something.
See if
he could get something, yeah.
Yeah, but he wasn't. Like I think Ludovic was reading it and wasn't biting. I was watching him do it. I'm thinking to myself, he's trying to set something up here.
Mm.
And Dominic Cruz was doing it in his last fight as well. That's something else I noticed. Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
But just a very slick performance. It looks like his dad reckons he's going to have a surgery, I think. On that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
On what?
It's his bicep. Is it bicep? Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Mm. All right, so he might be out for a little bit. I was sort of thinking who would be next. He's got to flirt with around a top 15 opponent, right? Somewhere in that lower, you know, Song Yedong's not booked, but he's come off a win, hasn't he? So I don't know I think, oh, he's back. Fly's back.
Mate, I've got the rag of death right next to me here.
Death rag.
It's one of those,
it's big as
anti-stat. It is a massive fly. No way I can miss that. The one that landed on the bag earlier today, that was only a tiny one.
Gone.
Fucking enter the dragon, it entered the dragon.
Yeah. Song Yedong's at 15, but he's coming off a win, so I'm not sure whether they can make that or not. Cody Stame is at 14. He's coming off two losses.
I still think they'll try and make that Nurmagomedov fight.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah,
I do. Maybe if he's out for a bit, they'll match Nurmagomedov, and if he gets another win, then they'll match him again a bit down the line. I mean, Marlon Vera would be a good fight, a good test for him. Bantamweight,
it would be. Any of those.
There's some rough fights up there for anybody generally.
I mean, helicopter, isn't it? It's like a pterodactyl in here.
Like a pterodactyl.
It's put us right off our track, isn't it?
Well, this will test you.
There's an invader.
This will test your focus.
You know, the shore cat.
Let it land
shore
on your forehead. Don't move.
The Shore MMA, you know, they're a smart bunch of people, and he's being very well managed, and I definitely think they won't be looking at, you know, there's some problems for him in that top 10, and we should not be pushing him. You need to build him up, and you know, he'll get up there.
I think someone division. Around yeah there's someone a lot around of older that fighters bottom,
you know 15 14 13 around there, that's a smart play, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. There's a lot of more mature fighters, more older fighters in that division, aren't there? Like Frankie Edgar, Jose Aldo, Dominic Cruz.
Like, yeah.
There's, you know, a few veterans.
Yeah, not this one, the next one.
Yeah.
For someone like that.
You can see him.
Like if he beat Cody Stamen or he beat Cheeto or someone like that.
I could see Jack Shaw being in the top five when Corey Sandhagen's champ.
Right. Couple of years,
eighteen months.
I can get on that.
Yeah,
yeah. Congratulations, Jack. I thought it was
awesome. Really impressive.
Yeah, very, very impressive. I'm very excited to see what's next for him, and I think it's something special.
Yeah,
something. Definitely something happening around him.
Yeah, definitely. Sure. Yeah. What about Molly McCann?
Well done, Molly.
Fucking guns well and glory, done, right?
Guns and glory. There were so...
I need a bevy, lad.
There were so many parts of that fight that if she didn't have the minerals that she's got, she could have found a way out, couldn't she?
Absolutely.
She's just all toughness. You had me then.
Did you slip it? Yeah.
Yeah, slipped it. You know.
I've released it intentionally to test your head movement.
He gets tested enough and doesn't pass regularly.
I mean, she was like, she'd put a good 3-fight win streak together, and then she picked up two decision losses. Yeah. And it was just like, first of all, she came in great shape. She'd been working with Paul, same as Paddy has. And she knew that she had the gas tank to put a foot on the gas from the get-go.
Yeah.
And she would get to Kim eventually. And she did, you know, she took a couple of good shots, but she was, I mean, you know, that's what Molly does.
Yeah, she's,
it's what
she's
she does.
Tough. The only thing is,
it's not even landed for ages. His conditioning is amazing. Yeah.
That is not a game.
I think Molly and Paddy and this fly have all been doing their conditioning with Paul Reed.
You talk up at the gym a few times. We've had the conversation. I've listened to you with other people. Is you talk about having a conversation with your attacks. So you're building a conversation with people, and I just felt like Molly just comes in and shouts at you. Do you know what I mean? She just comes in and shouts and shouts and shouts and shouts.
She types in capital letters all the time.
Hope she's got enough breath to get her point across by shouting. Do you know what I mean? I feel like she could be really good, but there's another level that she could go to. Do you think that's fair?
Absolutely, I do. There's not a massive amount of finesse in what she's doing.
She's just tough.
She's industrial.
Yeah, she gets it done. Industrial.
I mean, she's a gamer.
Yeah,
she's a gamer. She's a handful. But the thing is, that can go a long way in MMA. Mm. Like, look at what Jessica Andrade has been able to do. Like when Molly, like there's a couple of tweaks that Molly can make for her technique, and because she throws everything into her punches, if they're tweaked to a point where she's connecting cleaner, she'll properly start hurting people.
Yeah.
Like there were a few times when she could have cracked Kim cleaner with knuckles turned into the target, and she'd have hurt her more.
Yeah.
And I think that's more of a technical thing than anything. I think she can generate that power. especially the way that she sways from one side to the next. You know, it's one of the ways that Tyson used to generate power. If you think the way that Jessica Andrade fights, everything about her is just a little bit tighter and a little bit more compact. Mm. So when she's running forward, instead of it being here, it's wow, 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 wow. I mean, look at that shot she hit Chikagian with in the body. Like a...
A touch more control, a touch more nuance on a strike, and she's going to be a problem for people.
For sure. But if you don't want to take too much of it away. That's the challenge.
Yeah, right. If you sort of operate off emotion too much, there's a limit to where you can get to in there.
For sure.
Yeah.
A sharp striker would run you onto an elbow if you're gonna fight like that.
But fair play. That was a tough performance.
It was. Yeah.
It's like when someone is that happy with a win, you can't help but be that happy for them, can you?
No. And she's alleviated some pressure.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And she's definitely. You know there's a. There's a good group of fighters from out of Liverpool, and she wants to be a part of that still. And
yeah, fair play.
This, you know, this keeps her in play.
Yeah.
Good fight.
Paddy the Baddy.
Mate.
He sort of came in with a bit, you alluded to it in the last podcast, came in with like a bit of a force field of belief around him, didn't it?
Yeah.
And it
took a little shot, pinged off his chin.
Yeah, it took a little dent.
With belief alone.
But, yeah, he just, you know, he did what he said he was going to come in, and you could, like, there was not, it seemed like there was not 1% of him that didn't believe that was what was going to happen. Like, he was fully committed to, this is happening, I'm going to make it happen, and I do not care what else anyone thinks or what anyone's going to try and do. And he did it.
Mm.
Wicked.
It goes a long way, doesn't it? That's self-belief. It there was, like, you know, he said it in all the post-fight interviews, the way he carried himself into the octagon, the way he was stood in his corner. It's like, I'm here to pick up a win.
Yeah.
And you could kind of see it was starting to wear on Vendramini a little bit. Like, he was looking across and he was like, is there something special about this kid?
Yeah.
That was, you know, like, as soon as you put that question inside their mind, and he's just standing there all fucking hyped up, coming out to some chaos music.
Have you seen all the pictures on Twitter about who he looks like?
No, I've seen the one where Dane has been photoshopped with his hair. Have you seen that?
I've not seen that.
He's
one,
He's got a Paddy the Baddy haircut.
No, there's some good ones. There's some wicked ones.
No, what is it?
Not Bret Hart. Who's Bret Hart's brother? Owen Hart. Oh, wow.
That's good, isn't it?
That is good, yeah.
Look at that. Yeah, I'll send that to you, Jamie.
But
you
look, Paddy's
drop
got...
that in the bottom corner.
Paddy's awesome. Got charisma, isn't he? Like, yeah, and it's hard to come by.
He's got star power for sure.
And it's, you know,
he had it when he was in Cage Warriors. He was filling out the echo up there.
You see people faking; it's just not the same.
No.
And he's got something. He's got the gift of the gab, and you know, it's he's entertaining, and you know, he just needs to keep backing it up.
Yeah,
you just keep backing it up. How far can you see him going? Do you think he's rounded enough?
He's in probably the most difficult division in the UFC. First of all, second of all, I think he was calculated enough to not join the UFC too early, and mm-hmm. I think that's a smart thing to do. I still think he's got some, there's some fleshing out that he needs to his game. Like, it's kind of same with Molly. Like, he lands because he's throwing volume mm-hmm. and intention.
Yeah,
you know, there's not, like, he's grappling slick, but it's not, his striking's not matched that level yet.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's a lot of work for him to do to be competitive with those guys at the top of the division that are really,
really
understanding the game, mate. I mean, just have a think about some of these guys. Fiziev, like that's a striker that is so aware in the pocket that it will just unpick you if you're not on that level. Brad Riddell.
To be honest, I went through doing what you're Armin doing Sarukian. None of those top 15 are good fights, and
they're not good fights for each other, though, are they? Let's be honest.
True.
Paddy's got some work to do, though, for sure.
Yeah, I just
being
wonder
realistic.
What because he's got everything. He's got everything else the UFC want. He's got all of that stuff that you know we've said a million times. Do it, they'll blow you up.
If you
tick a couple of boxes for the UFC, and they will pour petrol on you.
Absolutely.
And, you know, you'll ride.
But and that means good matchmaking as well.
Yeah, true.
You know, that means good matchmaking as well. But then you know,
this was his Marcus Brimage when Connor was coming through, he beat mm-hmm. Marcus Brimage, and this was his Marcus Brimage, yeah. I think. And he just needs to be careful on this next one.
Yeah.
He just needs to be careful. He needs another solid win here.
He does. So, yeah.
To be fair, Connor fought Max Holloway, didn't he?
He did. Next. And then Diego Brandão.
Yeah.
And that was a bit of a gimme.
Yeah.
Was, you know what I mean? Like, Max wasn't quite he was going to fold under now, the though. Pressure. He did fold under the pressure. Yeah. You know, you could see it in his performance. He came out fired up, but it was always kind of felt like he was trying to convince himself that he could do it, because McGregor just commanded the space so well. Yeah. You know,
I think it's an exciting time for Paddy, man. I'm
really excited.
Exciting time for the UK too, because there's a few guys on this card that really, really stepped up, didn't they? And
they're gonna figure.
The only concern I have for Paddy is that because he's so good at everything else, is that he gets fed to the lines a little bit. But, you know.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, they might accelerate him a bit too fast.
Yeah. Or he'll talk himself into something.
That's
not quite the right play.
Yeah, that's also possible. Start bantering back and forth with Makhachev or something. Yeah.
Don't do that.
Well, you know, it won't surprise me.
But that might be the right play in 18 months, you know,
yeah.
or 2 years when he's rounded off a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I think if he takes to his technical striking as he's taken to his conditioning, and he's, you know, his nutritional discipline, I think, you know, that's like he's definitely turned the corner with that from when he fought Sorum back in the UFC. And
there's a clear
didn't have big enough biceps to squeeze a rear naked choke on him in that first round.
Yeah. No, Paul's done amazing stuff with him. He looks like a professional athlete, which is always a good thing.
He looks like a lad now instead of a boy.
Yeah.
You know?
Lad. Hey, lad.
Okay. The leg kick.
Oh.
What? No?
Yeah, right. I thought it was Moreno and Zavada. Oh, yeah, I've skipped it. Never mind. I'm a bit desensitized to knee problems.
Yeah.
Knee injuries. Like, that knee injury you get from that oblique kick, I'd see five to ten a season in rugby, both rugby codes, you know.
Must happen every weekend in the NFL during season.
It happens all the time. Bearing in mind we're talking about a sport where the intention is to put you unconscious.
Yeah.
Like, that's the intention.
Yeah.
And now...
Which is far more dangerous than a knee injury. Like, worst case scenario, you walk with a fucking cane for the rest of your life. You know what you're doing getting in there. Yeah. Anyone calling for it to be banned needs to shut the fuck up.
Wow, okay, I wasn't...
Shut the
quite
fuck
that
up
aggressive
and
with,
sit the fuck down.
Quite that aggressive about it.
Watch figure skating or something like that.
Or chess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shut
right.
the
oh,
fuck
that's,
up.
That's one way of going after it, I suppose.
I mean, come on. I mean, like,
okay.
It's like
we're saying the same thing. We're just choosing
different
ways to say it.
I mean, you know, jabs often buzz people's noses. We should probably make jabs illegal.
Yeah, no blood. Any stage.
Like, this is why MMA happened in the first place. Is because that had already happened with all of the other martial arts. Oh, well, you know, the Sambo guys are coming in and beating all the judokas, so let's take out footlocks. And you know what I mean? Yeah, it was like everything got sanitized. I remember when Taekwondo went from being a good fight to being an Olympic sport, which now it's a bunch of stick insects playing tag.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just I don't even watch any of it. I'm not interested.
I tried to watch a couple of bits of it in the Olympics, and I was like, I can't watch this.
Yeah.
There's nothing in this that I like watching. And the reason I sort of watch other combat sports, there's nothing there.
Yeah.
There's nothing left. No, I agree. And
the more things you take out the rules, the less interested I am in it.
Yeah.
And I guess that's because I'm not coming at this from a sporting perspective.
From combat, who's the best?
Exactly.
Unarmed hand-to-hand combat technician.
Exactly. And like, you know, we were talking about one a bit earlier, like seeing the difference that knees to the head make in one.
Yeah.
And how that would be different in MMA. In the UFC.
Yeah.
I love it. Bring it in. Downward elbows, legal in one championship. Knees to the head, legal in one championship. Let's integrate let's actually have a fucking unified rules.
Yeah.
Right?
It would massively change things, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Massively change things.
It'd be awesome.
Yeah?
Yeah. Like, there are two things I can do without. One is headbutting and the other one is soccer
kicking.
How
the fuck do you train it? How do you train it?
Same way you train elbows.
Yeah.
Like, really fucking difficultly. Difficultly? Is that a word?
That's a new word. New word of the day.
We'll take it.
Massive pads on. Be hard to train, wouldn't it?
Oh, like, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. For I mean, sure. I guess I suppose the same as you train elbows, you get to the position and you both know this this is what I would do.
For sure.
I'm not going to do
it. It's good. It's good pad men. It's good training techniques. It's good, you know, foresight in the moment.
Yeah, but that that like Dagestani sequence of wrestling up against the fence when you're pinned up against the fence with the underhook and the Dagestani handcuff.
Love it.
And then because you're helpless anyway, you're just getting beaten by fist. But in that position, you can activate that top knee, can't you?
Yeah.
When you're attacking.
Mate, Ritu Foga, at the end of the fight, had Meng Bo like stuck up against the fence, kneeing her in the head.
Yeah. Just stove in people's faces. But then
you're
watching, you're
like, how many of these are actually landing cleanly? And most of them aren't.
No.
It's like that's the defense with soccer kicks to the head is that they're so difficult to land.
Yeah.
The reason why I can do without soccer kicks is because usually the only time they land is when the motherfucker's already unconscious.
Yeah.
So then you've got someone that's already snoozing on the floor and then they get volleyed in the side of the head. It looks like Nottingham Market Square at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Outside
I've fucking seen it happen, man. I've fucking seen it happen. Like it's that free shot that never needs to happen.
There's a street in Hinckley where we used to go out. It's just like the Hinckley war zone. It's like three kebab shops. It's just like it's basically unlicensed combat.
Yeah,
and he's back.
Mate, the Market Square was sometimes in Nottingham. I remember seeing some wild shit.
Like
daytime stabbings.
That's rough, isn't it? Right? There's no need for that while the sun's still up.
There's no need for that.
No. That's not gentlemanly.
People at Christmas shopping and stuff and just walked off.
Nasty.
It's like a prison yard.
Pussy move.
It is a pussy move.
Pussy
move. Right? Yeah. Slap them with a glove and challenge them to a duel.
Or pistols at dawn.
Pistols at dawn.
For God's
There's a couple
sake,
of videos of that
it.
On YouTube, you know.
Real
actual,
ones?
Yeah, actual like shootouts.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, yeah. And they don't stand too far away from one another either.
Someone's
the guns aren't particularly great. I've got a couple in the other room. Never fired.
I wonder what the rules were. Like, you're not shooting each other's heads, right?
No, body.
Body like that is you know that.
Well,
is,
I mean, I think it was agreeable depending on the duel.
How pissed off you were with each other.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think so.
Why didn't they have a fight?
Well, because they're gentlemen, aren't they? Yeah, no.
Just shoot each other instead. Seems a bit extreme.
I don't know.
Maybe more rational people like me.
I'd rather a sword fight. I'd rather there be some level of athletic. Well, yeah, but you know, it takes a long while to beat someone to death.
Right? Yeah. True. It takes some longer than others.
That's true. That's very true.
Yeah. Moreno and Zawada, is that where we're at?
Yeah, we are, yeah.
Fucking hell.
Yeah. Oh, no, well, first of all, Khalil, that was a really good performance. All the way through that fight was a good performance.
Was, yeah.
He fucking broke Modesta's nose early.
Yeah.
Stalked him, pushed him up against the fence.
He smashed his nose up, didn't he?
Smashed him.
Yeah.
If he gets a good start to a fight, Roundtree's tough.
Is this the whole superhero persona thing that he creates and stuff? Is that
super champ?
Is this because he's a bit
mental and he needs
like it's his third person,
it's like an
playing.
Alter ego? I think so, a little bit, because you see like sometimes a couple of times he's been startled, like was it Iwan Kutalaba that just fucking ran through him with elbows?
He's on
someone
next,
like that
next week. He's fine, I think.
Is he really? Yeah.
I like him. He's a maniac.
Clearly, yes, like it was Iwan Kutalaba,
boss from a movie, innit?
He's a bit like Joey Dakin, actually.
You're right.
Like, we should get Joey Dakin into Iwan Kutalaba.
Yeah.
Like, I think their styles would kind of match.
Yeah, they would.
Devin Clark is fighting.
Yeah.
September 18th. Iwan Kutalaba, that is.
Yeah.
The Hulk.
Not Joey Dakin.
No.
No. He'd have a crack.
He is fighting.
He'd have
soon,
a real
though,
crack.
Isn't he, Joey Dakin?
I'll tell you what.
No, Iwan Kutalaba.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. Save any confusion. So anybody invested in green body paint, now is the time to do it.
Go get it. It was a good performance. It
was.
And as we did, the oblique kick sort of overrode the performance a little bit.
Yeah. The debate around it.
But even Modesta...
Shut the fuck up.
Oh, wow. Wow, you could tell you're
it's always
back at the gym
but
all the time.
But who's having this discussion? Who thinks they should be illegal? People that have never fucking done it.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, well, no, that should be illegal. That's dangerous. Yeah, it's fucking cage fighting. Of course it's dangerous. Like, we sign death waivers when we sign our contract for fighting.
What more do you need?
Yeah.
I've signed a death waiver.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, what has the longer lasting damage?
They're doing this in rugby around the tackle.
Are they pussifying it?
They're pussifying it. Like, I get it. Heads are getting hurt, and there's some stuff around concussion. I get it. But I suppose it's everything. The needle swings, and then it comes back, and you find it at mid-ground. But they are pussifying the tackle.
You can't do it. The middle ground is the before and after care.
Yeah.
Because the sport is what it is.
Yeah.
Like, they're war games.
Right, that's why we look like. That's why
the closer to war games they are, the more people are interested in.
That's why MMA polarizes people, because it touches DNA, and people.
Have lost that DNA a long time ago.
But it touches
ago.
Even the people.
Fucking, oh, we need to make.
It touches their DNA, and they're scared of it, and then that's why they go against it, because they're.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, because that. Because it reminds them that that person is in there, They're scared of that person.
I think some people have genuinely not developed that part. I do. We're not all the same species. We're not.
Maybe like
there's too much variance.
If on your DNA you've got two strands of DNA, but some people it's just a wet wipe that goes around the other strand. It's like a wet Andrex strand, and then a DNA strand going back around the other way, and that's how you know. We'll be able to screen for it soon. It'll be fine.
Screen for wet wipes.
Ah, no. Over there, please. Over there.
Yeah. I like it.
There we go.
Oh, where were we? Morono against Zawada.
Man, I feel sorry for Zawada. Zawada, everything about him seems like he's fucking really good.
Yeah.
Like, he's really good. He's tough as fuck. He seems like a real clinical technician. He's... Like, I just don't get it. He just keeps losing.
I know. It just happens sometimes. But then I think a lot of people underestimate Morono.
Yeah.
Who's very good. And talks at twice the fucking speed of sound.
Mate.
Like, did you notice that in his post-fight interview?
Yeah.
I thought I'd hit fast forward. I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
There'll be a sonic boom next.
Yeah. But he's like, you can tell that he's like, he's a bit of a Lex Friedman. Yeah. Morono is. He's hyper analytical, he's hyper intelligent, but he's got this fucking animal side. So there's like some kind of like professor maniac driving this lunatic in a fight that's got all this technical ability as well as the desire to get stuck in.
Mate, he crosses his feet.
Yep.
He keeps his hands low, even when he's in the pocket. He zombies his back foot.
Yeah.
Like everything that I'm watching. People try and coach out of people at the gym.
One of the least athletic people in the...
Yeah.
He's a Barbarina. Brian Barbarina. Similar kind of thing. Very unathletic, very effective. Waterboarding motherfuckers.
Yeah, there you go. Waterboarding motherfucker.
You've got industrial, you've got waterboarding.
Yeah. he's just super tough, isn't he? I can't know how to explain it, but whenever he exchanges with someone, he always seems to... I don't know, throw like one more punch than the other guy, and that's the punch that lands. And he's just like, oh, it's fine, I'll take whatever because I'll just get the last one.
Yeah.
And he always seems to manage to get the last one on the end of exchanges.
Don't stop hitting until you've landed the last one.
He's like, just be the last one to stop and you'll be all right. He's putting wins together.
Yeah, he will. He will because he didn't he take it on short notice as well?
Maybe there was a hell of a load of fights that dropped out.
20-7. I mean, he's got, why not get stuck in? Lost to Pettis, lost to Chaos Williams.
I feel like Zawada will be back, right? He might be one of those guys that just struggles and doesn't find form. And then when he hits form, he'll like streak for 7-8 fights or something like that. And he just...
Two losses. He'll have another shot.
Yeah.
Who do you reckon?
D-Rod would be a...
Yeah, that'd be a good one. Yeah, I was thinking Dalby for some reason. Is Dalby coming off a loss? I can't think.
Maybe.
Did he win his last one? Yeah, okay. Okay. Well, I mean, he'll get another one for sure. And
I was actually thinking D-Rod for Morono.
That'd be nice.
I don't know whether you think D-Rod would do too much damage from distance.
maybe, bit longer, but I think Morono would be much more inclined to wrestle and grapple in that one. You know, drowning with top pressure.
I hope Zawada finds some form, just gets a couple of wins, finds that form. He must be low on belief at the minute. Like I say, I don't know. He just seems good. He seems to be better than his results, than the results he's getting.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. He is for sure. Tom Aspinall.
Here he is, man. Here he is.
Unreal.
This is the next generation, isn't it? Like
he's so good.
Talked about a couple of times that Cyril Gane, big but athletic, big but fast.
I think he's faster than Gane.
You think he is?
Yeah.
Wicked.
I don't know whether it's just because he's not quite as high on his toes, so he moves, he's more direct in his attack.
Yeah.
But like that 1-2 he landed, even Spivak went, what the fuck is that?
Well, I don't know if we've said on this podcast or we were just chatting, but when irrelevant of sport, if you realise you're getting done for speed, oh, you're so fucked.
Right.
You're so fucked. Irrelevant of sport. You're like, oh, no, this is a whole different consideration we have to have about each other.
Mm.
Like in rugby, if someone gets on the outside and you know they're quicker than you, you're just done. In this, if Aspinall's hitting you and you don't even realise you start to throw a shot, you're done.
So what's the point in difference in... So, like, say, for example, Aspinall and Lungyan Buller.
Yeah.
Both fast, yeah. But it doesn't seem to cost...
But it's different, though, right?
It doesn't seem to cost Tom Aspinall as much.
Yeah, but Aspinall doesn't seem is like... He's not wailing. He's not wailing, so it's not like... Wah! It's just precision and... Yeah. I don't know... This is a complete assumption, but it feels like he throws more straight stuff than Gyan Buller would throw more... hooks and rounded stuff. I don't know whether that's true or not, but
the cost of slowing that momentum.
Yeah.
He is definitely more direct with his attack.
Mm.
Like he doesn't, even compared to Cyril Gane, Cyril kind of hops in.
Yeah.
And he gets away with a lot because he is fast.
You know what, the funny thing, I don't know what I base this on, but I feel like Tom's like scraping the surface of who he's going to be.
Absolutely.
Like he just,
absolutely.
I was trying to think of how to explain it, but it seems like if someone came in and went, I'm just going to paint this picture where I think you can go with this, and he'll go, oh shit, yeah,
yeah,
I get it.
I agree.
I get it. Because he's like, I don't know, there's something about the way he goes about his business. I'm like, oh shit, I don't actually think he knows how good he can be here. And he's pretty fucking good already.
He's very good. And I think you're right, and I think it's difficult for him to comprehend what his potential is.
Yeah.
I think that's where the difficulty is. I think you have to kind of see it, and if you can't see it yourself, you have to have other people around you to that paint can kind of see it for you. Yeah. And the other thing as well is he's getting his work done too quickly.
Mm.
Like that's another major setback because like how realistic to fights is his training? Like how many other heavyweights is he training with? Like I know he's done some work with Tyson Fury and stuff, but that's not going to be consistent.
No.
Like, I'm sure he has a few guys that he relies on, but then you've got to think what level are those guys at quality-wise compared to the guys he's fighting.
We'd know about them. We'd know who they would be, wouldn't we? Because there's not that many
heavyweights
out of here, and we'd know about it.
Yeah. It'd be good to get him over and into a mix of heavyweights in Poland. They've got loads of good heavyweights across gyms there.
Yeah.
You know, maybe get him over to Jan's gym, with Jan Bojovic. He trains with a bunch of monsters. Because he's a likable guy as well, and I think he'd be like him and Jan would get on really well.
Yeah,
I think so.
Very cool.
I'd like to see him just kind of
broaden,
expand his game a bit, and also have the time during training to kind of understand where those areas of his game are, because I think he's probably quite routine in what he's doing in his training, and then his fights are so quick. It's like I can't really.
Yeah, I mean, I see him. Outside of the top five, I can see him beating anyone from 6 to 15. I can see him beat anyone. I think the guys in the top five, I think he's going to have to go through the rest of the rankings to get to the point where he can beat those guys at the top five. It's a bit like you got to do the quest before you fight the dragon, right?
For sure.
But the quest equips you for the dragon.
Yeah.
And I think he just needs that maybe time in the octagon. You know, things are happening so fast.
Yeah.
Just spending some time in the octagon so he knows he can, you know, he might have to go the full distance for a championship.
Yeah.
You know?
But that's the thing is like how does he prepare for going the full distance if he's not being, and you know, obviously I'm speaking from a completely uninformed point, but like you said, we'd know if there were good other good heavyweights in the UK.
Well, they'd be tearing up the domestic scene because there's not that many, is there?
No, there aren't.
So we'd know
there aren't any.
Yeah.
No. So that's his issue. And then, you know, you look at his fights. Like, the only one that's gone to the second round was Andrei Arlovsky. But then if you realistically look at that fight, it was like he came out in the second round and was like, okay, let me just get this done now.
Yeah.
So, like, I would even just...
I give you a round for being a legend.
Exactly. Yeah. Out of respect.
Yeah.
Like, you could even just call that first round. So then that fight becomes 1:09 long. And, you know, he's getting everybody out of there in... like pretty quickly.
Mm.
Like when he decided to put his foot on the gas against Arlovsky, it was done and over.
Yeah.
And like even Andrei Arlovsky was like, I don't fucking know what hit me.
Yeah. But that sort of filters into him, you know, understanding him and his game more and more.
Mm.
In that he might have needed that time to feel it out, and then he was just like, oh shit, I got it.
Maybe.
I get it. I get how this finishes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I can just.
Yeah. Right, but.
Yeah.
Oh.
A bit like Yoel Romero did that with Lyoto Machida. It was like he played karate with him for a round and then was like, I've had enough of this. Bang. Elbows done.
Yeah.
It was, yeah.
A very man.
He's limitless, isn't he, really?
Yeah.
It really
exciting,
is.
Exciting for him. I just think it's interesting. From looking at him, from looking at him and making some reads on him that may be based in nonsense, but he's right on the edge of doing something special, isn't he? And something can accelerate that. I'm not sure where it is or where he finds it, but something can accelerate it.
Yeah, maybe he needs to go and train with Frank Mir.
Maybe
Frank Mir could adopt him.
Yeah,
they do look alike.
Yeah, right. Get away with it.
Main event.
Yeah, very. Very, you know, disappointing for Darren, obviously.
Mm.
Very, very dominating performance from Derek. Fair play. Brunson he's in a bit of a purple patch, isn't he?
He's found his game.
Yeah. He's found his game very much, isn't he? He knows what it is. I mean, the irony is that sequence to him getting finished was he just started to have a little bit of success. He was sort of turning the tide a little bit. And it's this sport, man, it is like millimeters, isn't it? If he doesn't follow in like by what, half a foot, and he can just keep that distance, and I think if he stayed on the inside, the game's changed, the round's different, but it's like always, isn't it?
The outcome was too predictable.
Yeah,
it was too predictable because, like, the thing is. Just as we've been talking about earlier on, like sometimes if you take someone who's really chaotic and you start to refine them, that gray area between chaos and refinement is quite unstable because they now realize there's a lot more to it and they don't have the ability to get to that level. So now there's a real uncertainty where previously that uncertainty was made up for with confidence.
Mm.
And now that confidence has been taken away. It's like you have to undermine someone's confidence in their shit striking to get past the point that they're a shit striker. And Brunson has been a shit striker. He's been effective, but if we're honest, his technique's poor.
Yeah.
But it's effective because he had confidence and he had a good streak when it was effective.
Mm.
Then he tried it against Whittaker and it didn't work out. Then he shit the bed against Anderson Silva and just couldn't get started.
Yeah.
And then he kind of rediscovered it against Dan Kelly, obviously, who, you know, is not very quick in comparison. I think that's a part of the reason why when he put his foot on the gas, it was like, I've got to go. Like, now's the time. Because he was so uncomfortable with Darren starting to pick up his pace and his confidence.
He was landing right to that point. He just started to land, didn't he?
I think by default of Derek Brunson moving to Sanford and starting to work on his striking, he's realised that actually he's a wrestler.
I think that's how
it's worked. I think he's gone, oh, I'm actually not that good at striking. I'm a wrestler.
I don't know if this is fair or not because in the midst of a fight, obviously things aren't as clear as in training, but. Like this is a high level fight, and there's some sort of basic stuff. You've spoken about it before. Some basic stuff that doesn't get done even at this level. So like,
there's so much.
Like,
honestly,
like basic mount escapes. Now, granted, he'd been elbowed in the eye a few times, and he was pretty beaten up. But there's some basic mount escape. Like we see it in the gym like if Jimmy wants to maul someone, that he'll just maul them. But a lot of the time it's because we just don't have answers to the questions.
Yeah.
But we're talking about a different level. Like this is close to the pinnacle of the sport. And it just seemed like there was some basic stuff that should be done by everyone by now.
Yeah.
And where does it end up? Like in 10 years' time, does everyone do? Everyone's doing all of that all the time. 20 years' time, how does it evolve? Because everyone does those. You know, you're getting put in one position, and everybody knows how to, you know, escape that position or better that position.
Yeah, we're still very much in our infancy as far as MMA as a all round skill.
Yeah.
We are, and like the more I watch, the more I think about it, the more gaps I can see in everybody at the top's game. Yeah. They're very good at some things. They're very effective at some things. They make up for gaps in their game with conditioning or determination or confidence, or like self-belief is a big part of it. The intention and sole focus of this was a conversation from the other day with V and I. Because you know, you've heard the, you know, don't be scared of the man that does 10,000 kicks once, et cetera, et cetera. Andrew Huberman was talking about this on his podcast. It's an interesting metaphor, but there's two layers to it, right? So the first layer is repetition of the same thing is always massively beneficial by comparison of a variety of stuff that's not been drilled and not been established in your arsenal, mm-hmm. right? So I'm much better to have one kick that I know inside out at different ranges, at different timings, against different people, than I am to have. Obviously, 10,000 is
10. You're not sure about
exactly. Yeah, exactly. So then, what I'm actually looking at is a spectrum, and what is ideal is actually much closer to the one kick 10,000 times end of the spectrum, but it's not that far down. Ideally, I want like some fighters have three major components of their game that work really well
together.
Yeah, I know
what you're saying, yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
and then they bolster everything off the back of that, right? Yeah. So McGregor has got the left hand, the pump left hand, the lead uppercut and the kick, right?
There is reliable go-to, knows you can land them. You can't be this end.
For sure.
Because that's specialized.
It's chaos. It's just a mess because you've got all these mad floating pieces around. And of course, 10,000 is an unrealistic number. But, you know, if you've got 100 techniques that you don't know very well, you look like you're throwing fucking knives and forks at your opponent. And you don't really know what you're doing. That's where you find these, like Alex Caceres was always my example of someone that's just kind of chaotic.
Yeah.
And I've seen this, I'll throw this and I'll... You know, just mad stuff.
Saying random words in a language, you know, you learn a language, you're just throwing out random words.
Exactly. Yeah. But then you look at Kamaru Usman, who's mastered the highest level of jab cross.
Yeah.
Like, it's the most effective jab cross in MMA right now, in my opinion, because there's no emotion in it, there's no wind-up, there's no tell. It's bam, bam. Mm. Right? So where on the spectrum are you as an MMA fighter? Do you have too many techniques that you don't understand? In which case they're basically junk that's floating around in your iCloud that you don't need, right? You need to either nail a few down and get rid of a few or start again. Sweep the table clear and start again. If you've got one thing that you're fucking really good at, if you're wicked with your left hand or you're crow cop with your left kick, and that's your one thing that you do really well, most of the time you'll be able to apply it against the majority of people you're fighting. But that's mastery of that one thing. If you can then take that effort of 10,000 reps of one thing and share those 10,000 reps across five things.
Five complementary things. That build foundations around your one good thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like GSP's takedown sequence. Double leg, run the pipe, knee tap. Yeah. Bam, bam, bam. Each one of them gets 3,333 reps.
Yeah.
And he's fucking mastering wrestling.
Is he back?
He is back.
You better not land. I sat in here the other day and it was the end of the training week and I was fucking exhausted. There's so much to learn, Dan. I don't feel like I can process this amount of fucking information. There's so much. I feel like I'm drowning. And that's the problem. That's why you can't be down this end of the spectrum, because you'll never master any of it, because there's so much to learn.
So much.
And that's why you build into systems. So you know, you pull bits in that complement each other, and you know, Jimmy has a Jimmy has a system. You know, he's not ignoring anything, but he has a system that he knows that this is my high percentage game. If I can get, if he can get that, and I won't use me as an example because it will just open me up to abuse later on. But if he can get that into someone he's training,
yeah,
then he knows he has a 75%. This is going to be successful. Now I can add some nuances in here, there, and everywhere. And, you know, this guy happens to be particularly fast twitch or particularly slow twitch or whatever, or he's very athletic or not. And then we're going to move some of these things around because, you know, we have to fit it to the individual. Like, that is how you get through this fucking solar system of, I don't want to say space junk, but space bits. That
noise.
Just noise everywhere.
It's just noise.
So much.
There's loads and loads and loads.
That's how I related back to this, in that there's so much to learn.
Yeah.
Even the top level pro guys are not moving the right way under pressure, having been elbowed in the head a few times in a position that we are, you know, we're drilling at intermediate level, beginner level. We know those escapes.
Yeah.
Because this sport is fucking relentless, isn't it?
It is. But then, see, the way of getting around that chaos and that feeling of being overwhelmed is to nail down like the axioms of MMA. What are the cores, right?
Yeah.
And then... That flies.
Whoa.
And then, say, for example, like a left hook. Like, people argue and debate the left hook. Well, you know, your palm's got to be facing, your palm's got to be down. You know, you can bring your elbow lower, you've got to bring your elbow up. There's like loads and loads of variance and variety. If you understand the principle of the left hook and how the mechanics are applied to the target, you can adapt it from one left hook to the next. I was watching Andre Ward.
Wrong joint, right?
Exactly.
You look at the wrong joint. Yeah. Don't worry about up here. It's the hip and the ankle.
You're focusing on the finger,
right,
and missing all the heavenly glory. Yeah. You're thinking about the minute details of it. And if you actually understand the mechanics of something, you don't have to know the technique.
Mm.
Like, everything, all the techniques, 10,000 techniques all floating around in the cloud, all of a sudden start to fall away and become about 100 core axioms of this is how it works. This is what makes MMA work. And there's always going to be flair and like little fucking expressions of creativity here and there, an Imanari roll there or a spinning head kick there. But that's why they represent low percentage moves, because they're so rare.
I'm a bit off my skill acquisition game because I'm not at the coal face right now so much as I was. But you're talking in very, very similar terms without knowing it about some sort of hotly debated topics in how to acquire skill right now, whether it's about creating some constraints and having an understanding of your endpoint and letting you find that endpoint because you have the knowledge of the constraints, or breaking it down joint by joint and telling you need to be here, here, and here. Like, that is the debate that's going on, and things are moving this way towards this. I need to put you in a situation where you're going to almost self-learn how to get there because I'm smart with my constraints, and I've put these problems around you that are going to force you to adapt to get to the end point that I want you to be at. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you've found that through experience. You found that through knowledge of fight sports, but it's very, very interesting.
Mm.
And you know, even the science side of it is developing now. You know, we don't necessarily know how to get there.
Yeah,
but it's becoming clearer.
The more time I spend in the gym working with individuals and seeing variance in individuals' games, the more I'm kind of realizing that it's less about, like, I'll sharpen a technique to the point where it's as efficient as I can get it for that person. But then the next level of efficiency is helping them understand how to apply it.
Mm.
And that's the bit where a lot of the time it's lacking. That's the gap most of the time between actual pad work, when it usually becomes like a sport-specific cardio workout, and actually understanding how you're moving your feet and where you're placing yourself. Because you've always got to bear in mind that the center line of your opponent and how you're moving around them. You've also got to anticipate when you're throwing a combination how that center line is going to react.
Mm.
One of the reasons why I like using that rope for shadow boxing against is because it reacts a bit like a spine.
Yeah.
Right. If you jab it will drift away. So then you might have to go down to the body to come back to the head because it's drifted away. You need to bring the head back.
Yeah.
You know, and that snaky motion of the spine, you have to take that into account. And a lot of the time people don't. And you know, and like something I was like, V and I have been working some patterns and stuff, and like because she's very quick and she's already got the techniques in her game. What I'm now trying to do is trying to trick her to make a mistake, which will highlight why that was a mistake.
Yeah, because then it's touching the constraint.
Yeah,
you're pushing her towards the outside of her skills of her skill. Understanding so that she knows where the outside is now, where she may not know where that is. Setting her up so then to galvanize deeper understanding of the technique.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause like we can go through the same pattern, but it was like the example I always use is the fighter that goes to a new gym and they pick up a cool skill set at that gym, and then when they leave and go somewhere else, they don't take it.
Yeah, right.
Like, it just stays in the gym. It's because they've borrowed it temporarily.
Yeah.
Like, they've not integrated into their game, which means that they've been able to replicate it, but they've not understood it.
Mm.
You know? So, like a lot of the stuff I do now, and especially, like, using walls and space to, you know, to walk people onto stuff, it's far less an understanding of how to... Like, well, I use this right hand for this, and then I use this right hand for this, and then this right hand for this. I'm like, well, no, I'm going to put this on the target, and this is how I need to do it to make it successful. Mm. It's a mechanical thing. Mm. It's Henry Cejudo wrestling. It's adapting things in the moment because you know how you know the path that you need to walk to get to the destination you need, and that's more of an instinctive thing. It goes back to Enter the Dragon. You know, when the time comes, I do not hit. It's all by itself. Like, there's so much in that opening conversation.
Yeah.
That one and the second one with Lau, where he's training him, like the emotional content part. Honestly, it's like echoes. The same philosophy is coming around. That's why I picked up those books. Is because, I mean, I looked on the Oxford philosophy reading list, and a lot of it comes down to logic.
Mm.
Like, because like, I like these... philosophy in an hour audio books when I'm driving, and sometimes like it'll be, you know, Socrates or Aristotle, and they're talking about like the fundamentals, like let's nail down the core of this thing,
yeah,
the isness of it,
yeah,
you know, and that's really the most important thing about MMA. You need the patterns to train it, but at some point the patterns have to fall away, and you have to replace it with understanding of application. And that's where martial arts stalled with patterns, because they just became rehearsed dancers.
You know when people truly understand it because you watch them. Like, I hate being nice to him. Fuck's sake!
Oh, are you talking about Jimmy or Josh?
You're going to talk about Jimmy. It was just a small little sequence against the wall. And he did it as an example, and it was like not only effortless from his point of view, but I know when I see athletic performance when it's right, and it was just there was no pause, there was no nothing. It just flowed from standing to complete control, cross body control on the floor within seconds. But it was like water. It was a flow of the sequence flowed like water, and I was just like, holy shit.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
Holy shit. Yeah, like it really is.
Yeah.
That's enough.
See, that's why I struggle with guys like Brunson. That's why I struggle with his game. Like, because there's not... Like, Jack Shaw's performance was a much higher level than Brunson's when it came to striking.
Yeah.
Because he always had a plan. Mm-hmm. He always had a game going on. He had a couple of plates spinning.
Yeah.
Like, I'll drift back into this. Let's see if I can get you to throw your right hand. Yeah. You know, like, there's a... the board came off the wall the other day. Where does the conscious mind end during combat? That's that point where you can watch Jack Shaw fight and you know that there's probably 80% of what he's doing is now trained down to instinct because they're patterns that have been laid, but that allows him to also have a different conversation.
Feels like a paradox,
going on his
right?
Head.
Feels like he's operating unconsciously, but he's super conscious of that fact.
Yeah.
Because he's operating unconsciously, it allows like brain space for him to trick you and move you and pull you and lay down game plans and traps for you.
Yeah.
But if your head is still up in techniques because it's not laid down to your unconscious, you don't have any brain space for setting these traps and laying this stuff down. That's why all the technical and tactical stuff to be dragged down into your unconscious, so you just flowing and going and going, and now I have some space.
Yeah.
Now I can start fucking with you. exactly. start dragging you onto stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. If your operating system is focused on...
I think I'm out of years. I just don't think I've got enough years.
No, you're not. You just got to streamline it. If you, if your brain is focused on how to throw a jab, it's not got the time to think about when to throw the jab.
Yeah, 100%.
Right?
I couldn't... Yeah. Very well put. Yeah, I agree. I agree. And like... I that's what I love seeing in sport. I've been involved in sport for so long. That's what I love seeing in sport. I love it when you're just like, oh man, you didn't even fucking think for 1 second about doing that. You just did it.
Mm.
Just did it.
Yeah.
And it crosses all sports. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's wicked, yeah. Someone put on Twitter, obviously straight after, how did Darren Till spend so long in Brazil that he learnt fluent Portuguese but didn't learn to get a decent ground game?
Because you don't pick up girls with jiu-jitsu in Brazil.
It's the motivation. That's all you need.
There you go. That's it. Yeah.
Nice one.
Yeah. I don't know.
Man,
he's still a magnetic character, yeah. Darren Till. You know, he's not going to disappear off the face of the earth. There's a couple of interesting fights. I mean, you know, you could put him in there against a Uriah Hall or a Shabazzian or, you know, I mean, even Chris Weidman. Good one. Kevin Holland's right down at 14 now.
Yeah.
There's a lot of fun fights. You can always hang a main or a co-main event on Darren Till.
And he'll bring the people a long way.
Yeah,
he brings the people.
For sure.
Again, he's charismatic. He's like...
Yeah, he's a long way from
difficult
Darren
to dislike.
And Brunson's not beating Adesanya.
No way.
Not unless it's a snooze fest decision where he just holds him down.
No way. No chance. I can't see that. Hell of a weekend for fights.
Might sub him. Might rear naked choke him.
You reckon? I mean, if he puts his on his back,
he's
in a bit of trouble.
He's got a lot of bad habits on the floor. Anyway, we'll get into this if it's matched.
Hell of a weekend of fights. It was fun to watch, weren't it? Enjoyed it a lot. And we are... Next card is Spann and Anthony Smith.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
We'll do next week.
And Romero Davis on Bellator. Yep. Wicked. Yep.
And we'll keep our eyes up for that next Glory card. I'm well excited about that already.
Yeah. Good to see Reem back in the big gloves.
Yeah. Big shout out to our sponsors. And I had some feedback from C4. So thank you to the guys that have been supporting us in the US, supporting our sponsors who obviously support us. Thank you very much. And jump on Full Reptile at the checkout for 30% off. And go see our good friends Unbound Merino. And using the code Outlaw, you will get 15% off and free shipping over $100.
Sweet.
Easy.
Nice one.
Cheers, bro.
Catch you next time.